done a lot, but it's always on me. I'm the buck stops with me here, so it's always going to be on me until the day I move on. So it's not going to change. I'm in the same boat as the players today and Claude coming in. So at the end of the day, we all have some responsibility to share.
I was in Vermont with my wife, and we were due to get some rest and enjoy a little bit of time off. But, shortly after I got there, I got a message, and so things started from there. So the few days I spent there was spent trying to finalize things here, and so I jumped back in the car, came back to Boston, and now ready to head out. I'm going to finish this season here, right, and then I signed on for 5 more years, so I have a 5-year deal after this year.
Welcome back. It is hour number 4 on Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690. Mitch Melnick, Mitch Gallo, sitting in one more day for Rod Francis. Is Dave Trentadue? Rod was originally scheduled to return today, but I guess New Orleans took a chunk out of him. He'll be back tomorrow, and joining us every evening, every Monday at this time, award-winning writer and broadcaster off the set of The Reporters in Toronto at the airport is Michael Farber. How you doing?
I'm great. New Orleans can take a chunk out of anybody. Until the Saints won that Super Bowl, I always thought New Orleans should get the game every year because you knew it was always going to be a neutral site. And unfortunately, they screwed that up. But it's a remarkable city, and if you haven't visited it, I urge you to go.
Yeah, I can't believe Rod beat me to it. That's kind of amazing. But I'm proud of him because he's going out and he's doing stuff. You know, he's doing stuff. Anyway, we look forward to having Rod back tomorrow. But Michael, it's our first chance since, of course, we talked to you on Mondays to discuss what went down about a week ago with Marc Bergevin firing Michel Therrien and bringing back Claude Julien.
Well, we spoke a lot about the firing. It's the hiring that caught me off guard, not because Bergevin wanted an upgrade in the coaching department, and I do believe that Julien is an upgrade. I believe he's an elite coach. I thought he should have been here for 10 years the first time. But what surprised me was the Boston Bruins. The Bruins could have said, we'll give you permission to talk to anybody to get off the hook financially, except the Montreal Canadiens. I mean, Bergevin was pinned in a corner. There was no place to go. None that I could see, nothing that was acceptable if he wanted to fire Michel Therrien, and clearly he did. And essentially, the Bruins threw him a lifeline. I mean, these are the Boston Bruins. They should be throwing the Canadiens an anchor. And really, what's this all about? If Claude Julien was making, I believe, about 2.5 in Boston, and he had one more year after this, if you prorate that, this year he would have been owed another million plus from the Bruins. Claude Julien would have been coaching somewhere next year. I don't think that's beyond debate. Someone would have snapped up Claude Julien with a contract, would have paid him more than he was making in Boston, and clearly the Canadiens did that. So the Bruins are on the hook for $1 million, $1.2 million, whatever it was. For a home playoff date, depending on your price structure and the size of your building, you are making at least $2 million. Now, if the Canadiens make the playoffs at the expense of the Bruins because Montreal upgraded its coach, the Bruins have been penny-wise and pound-foolish. Yeah, they saved $1 million or $1.2 million, but they would have made that up after 40 minutes of the first home game. I don't believe you help out your rival this way, and don't tell me, oh, we wanted to be respectful for Claude Julien. I mean, they've been disrespectful to him for 5 years in the way leaks were coming out of there and how unhappy they were with the coach who actually won them a Stanley Cup. So I'm still gobsmacked about how the Bruins wanted to wriggle out of what it had remaining on the Julien contract.
So you don't think Jeremy Jacobs had an epiphany?
You know that I've known you for how many years?
A long time, 30-odd years, yeah.
Yeah, 30-odd years. That might be the funniest thing you've ever said. Really.
I'm thankful to Jeremy Jacobs for something after all these years.
That's hilarious. Yeah. I can't believe, I mean, that Boston would be so generous. And essentially, Mark Bergevin, you know, pulled this one out of thin air, because where were you going to go? You know, Gerard Gallant, I don't believe he's as good a coach as Michel Therrien. And I think after three straight losses, the fact that Gallant can't speak French, that might have come up, you think? You know, Bob Hartley's coach in Latvia. They've never seemed to want Bob Hartley around in this organization. You know, you can only recycle, Guy Carbonneau. I mean, there weren't many places to go. And so Bergevin essentially had a chance to get one of the elite coaches in the game, and he leaped on it, and good for him. It's, you know, unfortunate that Michel Therrien was kicked to the curb, a foxhole buddy, but these things happen. But, you know, Bergevin is an active GM. He's, whether he's been good or bad, I still think that's up in the air, but certainly he's been active, and he had a move to make because of the Bruins' previous move, and he made it, and I applaud him for it.
It is up in the air, isn't it? A lot depends.
Yeah.
A lot depends on what he does between now and, what is it, 9 days from now, the trade deadline, and then how the team performs this spring. Before you could, you know, I don't know. It's a silly game to play, but we're doing it. So give him a. What would you say about Julien on a scale of 1 to 10 as general manager of the Montreal Canadiens right now?
Well, you take a snapshot. And, you know, today, you know, I give him C+, B-. You know, I give him an A for getting a better coach. You know, I give him a D for the long-term deal for Andrew Shaw. You know, there's so many parts of this. I think he was kind of lucky to get the job initially. He had only 1 year as an assistant GM in Chicago. He'd been a scout before that. It was a thin resume. I think he's done, you know, some nice things, and some things, you know, that have left us scratching our head. The Radulov signing looks good. It depends on what he does with Radulov in the future. This team has to win a Stanley Cup with Carey Price as a goalie. I don't think there's anybody else in this organization capable of carrying this team to a cup. I mean, Carey Price, when he's right, can do what Patrick Waugh did in 1993. So while you have Price here, you have to have a team commensurate with a cup challenger. I'm not sure he's quite built that.
Yeah, certainly nobody is owed a cup. But I think people listening understand exactly what you're saying. Has he, or by the time this season ends, will he have put the Canadiens in the best position as humanly possible to contend seriously for the Stanley Cup with Carey Price's contract starting to run out?
Well, and that's the issue. So you have to build up around it. And he's in on everything. I mean, he's one of these GMs who's making calls constantly and who's trying to figure things out. So I like that approach. We'll see what happens on March 1st. You know, the asking price for a guy like Duchesne is exorbitant, and you have to decide what kind of player is he going to be. He's got 2 years left, making $6 million. How the math works under the salary cap. But you know, we don't know. I mean, you know, there's lots of chapters to be written on the career of Mark Bergevin, and you know, we're kind of in the middle.
Claude Julien after practice today before the team left for New York, where they play the Rangers tomorrow.
I have to find solutions, but at the same time, I have to find out more about players, and it's tough for me. I'm not going to lie, to make decisions of this guy belongs here or there. I mean, my focus wasn't, you know, on this team for the longest of time. So I'm basically really trying to take some information and some of my observation and trying to put it together. My job is to make him better. You know, my job is to help him get better. And sometimes, you know, the skill level he already has, and that's something that's pretty special for players because it's hard to get. Now I want to work with him on the little aspects of the game that's going to make him even better.
Claude Julien on the more general task at hand of getting this team back to where it ought to be, and more specifically trying to get the most out of Alex Galchenyuk for now as a centerman in the National Hockey League. It's quite apparent. I don't think you have to be somebody who's a Hall of Famer like Michael Farber to understand that Claude Julien's communication skills, his people skills, right? All right, this is a big improvement.
Oh, exactly. And if you look what he did with Boston and how he handled difficult situations, including Tim Thomas, you know, Tim Thomas, kind of a party of one guy when he goes to a restaurant, you know, and that was not an easy situation. Then he got a cup with Tim Thomas. He had a problematic winger in Brad Marchand, and spent so much time with Brad Marchand. And last year, Marchand scored 37 goals. And lo and behold, in September, he's the first line winger with Sidney Crosby for Team Canada. And Brad Marchand doesn't develop in the way he does without Claude Julien. Players generally like playing for him because he is a clear communicator. He does it with the press. He does it with his players. So, you know, people talk about stylistically, how is he going to be different than Terry? And an analytics person told me this: Canadians will be playing further up the ice. You know, they'll generate more shots on goal. And Boston had really good possession numbers, if you believe in those things, and didn't score goals, but, you know, their possession numbers hinted at a team that was not about to fire its coach. Maybe the results were, but if you looked at the underlying analytics, they weren't bad in Boston. So maybe the Canadians generate more offense. And it might take a while. I mean, clearly you'll have to lean on J.J. Daniel and Kirk Muller. But there are issues here. Galchenyuk hasn't looked like the same player since he's come back from the knee injury. Shea Weber's fallen off in recent weeks. These are really important people. And, of course, Carey Price seemed to play a whole lot better, even in the loss to Winnipeg. So, you know, these are your key guys. And Montreal needs to be more than a one-line team. But this is something you need to work through because, my goodness, you know, that lead in the Atlantic has basically been burned. And the Canadians are going to be in a fight for a playoff spot if this trend continues.
You hanging out with analytics people now in your old age? Is that what you're
doing? You know what? I talk to everybody. And, you know, you never know where you're going to learn something. So I'm not too old to learn.
Thanks as always, Michael.
Thanks.
Have a great week.